Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. It's the final edition of Q&A with Layla for 2015.
Wow.
I say that with a little bit of wistfulness because it's been a challenging year in some ways, but it's been a very rewarding year. And you know, as I look back on the body of work that we've created in 2015, it really is quite considerable. You know, all the podcasts that we've created together, and also that I've created, you know, on my own and also with great guests.
Yes.
The things that we've written, you know, your articles that constantly are in the newsletter and are also now posted on the website.
The Clinical Focus podcasts, which are an education all by itself.
Right. You'll get your honorary PhD if you listen to all of them. We'll award them at the end of your... if you certify that you've listened to each and every one of them. So
we're going to quiz you.
So we're you know, we're very happy to bask in the glow of 2015. It's kind of like, it's like the end, it's almost like, have you ever done a marathon race?
No.
It's sort of like crossing the finish
line. I've
done a
5K, but
yeah, but crossing the finish line of the marathon, it's like, you know, you're tired, you're exhausted, but it's like, yes, we've made it to the end. So here, we've made it to the end of 2015, and thanks to your listenership, we're going to continue right through 2016. And we actually introduced a question in part two that I'd like you to reread again, because it has to do with, can we do any better on blood sugar in type 2 diabetes? Discuss the particulars.
My wife was diagnosed with prediabetes a few years ago, doesn't want to go on insulin, has been exercising, changes her diet. We're not able to get her blood sugar under 100. It stays still at about 120, even after walking 3 miles four times a week. What can we do to naturally lower it? I've heard chromium, cinnamon, and eating more fiber may be indicated.
So let's discuss this a couple of ways. You know, one is, it's a little strange that this starts out saying she has prediabetes, but she doesn't want to go on insulin. You don't go on insulin for prediabetes, and you don't go on insulin for what it appears that she might not even have yet, which is type 2 diabetes.
So type 2,
so I'm not sure where insulin got into the discussion. Maybe this person just apprehensive that she might end up on insulin. That would usually be way down the line.
Right.
You know, there, even at worst, oral medication is generally used for these types of cases. And among the oral medications, many have disadvantages and side effects. I recently heard an advertisement for a new diabetes medication, and I found it kind of funny because this new diabetes medication, among the warnings, this is a TV commercial, and you know, while these benign scenes play out on a TV screen, they read all these dire side effects. And it said, may increase the risk of high cholesterol. And I thought, that's really ironic, because here's a diabetes medication that increases the risk of high cholesterol. But that's okay. You can take a statin drug, which, by the way, carries a warning that it can increase the risk of diabetes.
So
you know, it's like battling medications.
Well, first of all, type 2 diabetes or prediabetes is a lifestyle disease. And reversible for most people with lifestyle changes.
Right. But so let's speak to the issue of, there are all these things you can do. You can be really lean, eat a no-carb diet. Like follow very clean, no-carb, paleo kind of diet. Exercise like crazy. Get to normal weight. Take all these supplements that are good, like gymnema, chromium, vanadium,
berberine.
Magnesium, berberine. These are, you know, we offer these supplements in various forms. We have a product called Diaxanol. Very nice product that combines several of the ingredients along with some cinnamon extract. And also we have CM Core. CM stands for cardiometabolic, which is kind of a weasel word for prediabetes. Can't use a, you know, disease word in a supplement name, so we call it it's called cardio CM Core, cardiometabolic core, which has berberine and grapeseed. Which the berberine is the business end of that. And so let's say we do all these things right. Adequate vitamin D, you know, all this kind of stuff.
All of that.
Reduce stress, blah, blah, blah. You have experience working at Dr. Atkins where he had enormous success with a low-carb diet. But I bet you there were some outliers. There were some
people,
And and why that is because some people run out of pancreatic mojo. Yes. And they just don't have enough insulin response mm-hmm. to optimize their blood sugar, even yeah. if they're doing everything right.
Yeah.
This is often a later stage of type 2 diabetes yeah. where the pancreas, in effect, wears out.
It gets tired.
Yeah.
Secreting all that insulin all your life.
Right. First it overproduces insulin, then it kind of burns out.
Yeah.
So in those cases, you know, we do the best we can, and then we might suggest something like metformin
yes.
or glucophage.
Mm-hmm.
And only if blood sugar is... By the way, this person didn't mention hemoglobin A1C, which is a very important
right.
measure of your status.
Yeah.
She's just checking her blood sugar, mm-hmm. which is a static measurement, not a measurement over time.
Yeah.
And 120 is not great, but I don't know what her hemoglobin A1C is.
Right. That will tell us
so
a lot more.
We need
yeah.
to know more about the situation. By the way, we don't know anything about her height and weight.
We don't. And we
don't know anything about her diet either.
We don't know anything about her diet. So the indication here would definitely be a low-carb, high-fat diet. And here's another reason for outliers. People are overdoing protein.
Okay.
Some people will be overdoing protein. If it's not a matter of the pancreas, it's also that. You don't need an 18-ounce steak for dinner. And this would normally be a patient I'd seen at the Atkins Center who were morbidly obese, and they're just not able to bring down their intake.
Are you telling me that grass-fed T-bone I had the other night was a mistake?
If it was 18 or 20 ounces, it could be.
It was really big, but I split it.
It was grass-fed. Great.
And you know, you don't want to go outside on the grill because it was kind of cold.
Yeah.
And you know, drizzly.
Uh-huh.
And so what I did was it was so thick that I cooked it in the oven mm-hmm. for about, I think it was about 30 or 35 minutes at a relatively low temperature, 300.
Mm-hmm.
So as not to turn it into
gray meat. You kind of roasted it.
Yeah. Roasted it. And then I have a sear pan, and I flipped it on the sear pan uh-huh. 3 minutes on each side, and it came out with a nice sear on both sides. And then I opened it up, and it was like perfect. It was
wow.
like really medium rare on the inside.
Did you sear it after you took it out
Post,
of the oven?
After. Oh,
that's interesting. I've never heard that.
Yeah,
but
that seems mm-hmm. to... That's the way to go, it
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That is it's a really good way to prepare steak.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, actually, I've done the opposite. On the grill, what I sometimes do, I have two sides on the grill. I have, like, the super hot side, and then I have, the lower temperature side.
Mm-hmm.
I have an infrared grill. You know, some mm-hmm. people may say, oh, you're not a purist, you don't use charcoal. What's the matter with you? Look, that's one concession I make to convenience. But I used to sear it.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to sear in the juice.
Yes.
But then realizing that I just put a sear on the outside and the inside may be totally rare, I cook it a little longer.
Yes.
But I read that some steak aficionado was saying, no, do the opposite.
Oh, we're going to have to try this at home.
Yeah. But don't overdo the pre-cooking because otherwise you'll have that
gray meat. No, we
like
medium rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But it was like perfect. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I kind of winged it. It was a really thick piece.
Wow.
Also, since you know, T-bone has a bone in, so it's actually takes longer to cook near the bone.
Yeah,
but it worked out well.
It's
anyway,
terrific.
It was a big honking steak.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting hungry.
But I do that like once every
that's nice.
Once a month or something like
that's
that.
That's great.
Then I took the bone.
Yeah,
the bone. You know,
yeah,
we're off topic here, but I'm telling
it's
you,
it's all right.
I took the bone and uh-huh. I put it in the crock pot, you know, for like
for
a
bone
long
broth.
Time.
Yeah,
for bone broth. Now mm-hmm. this morning I went to the outdoor market and I got. Some golden potatoes,
mm-hmm.
and I got these leeks are great this time of year. They're really big and
yeah.
just ready to go. Sort of end of mm-hmm. late fall, end of fall. And so I sauteed the leeks in butter,
uh-huh.
and then I peeled the potatoes, chopped them up into cubes, poured it into a broth, which I also had some chicken broth, which I had from an old chicken that I, you know, cooked up some broth from.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that is literally sitting on the pot at home on low temperature as we speak.
I'm hungry. Okay,
yeah.
that sounds delicious.
Spices, with fresh spices from my garden, I've got sage and I've got
rosemary,
thyme, and
uh-huh.
I've got rosemary.
Yeah.
And then because
mm-hmm.
it's going to be chunky, I'm going to put that submersible propeller in there.
Oh, the immersion blender.
Yeah, the immersion blender.
That's my husband's favorite toy.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Oh my God.
But you got to be
it's
careful
because like,
if you use it wrong, it just.
Yes. Yeah. You
right.
got to go.
Right.
Yeah. You have
yeah,
to go.
But
down.
It's going to be. I'm going to make uh-huh. like a sort of a smooth like winter soup.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But
yeah.
you know that's kind of like, I'm trying to be like the Indians. What use like you know the Native Americans use every part of the buffalo.
Yes.
You know, it's like don't throw anything away. Just,
yeah.
You know.
We're supposed to eat nose to tail. There's actually a cookbook. The Nose to Tail cookbook. I think his name is Fergus Henderson, I believe. Don't hold me to that.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure the last name is Henderson,
right,
not Anderson. But I've been meaning to pick up that cookbook
apropos
as well.
Apropos that, you know, just we're really off topic, but, you know, we're sort of free associating. But isn't there not a difference between the amino acid composition of muscle meat versus organ meat? There's something about that. And this is one of the bases for the Walls diet. Is that muscle meat is mostly branched chain amino acids.
Okay.
But
when
you get organ meat or other parts of the animal, you get a more complete spectrum of the amino acids.
Of the essential amino acids. Right. You know, I will often quiz patients a little bit. I say, if you were ever sentenced to go live on Devil's Island for the rest of your life and you were allowed to choose one food, what would you choose?
Yeah.
They choose some kind of vegetable or coconut or something or something or so, or maybe some meat or something like that. It's actually something like liver.
Yeah,
which
is complete.
Just about everything in it.
Which is interesting.
Including folate.
Including folate.
Yeah.
We remember this patient we had once who had such profound gastrointestinal problems, you could not take one smidgen of vegetables. They said, have like just a tiny leaf of salad or something because you need folate. She couldn't take oral supplements. Her GI tract was so bad. She only ate meat, and we saw she had many nutritional deficiencies. Beta carotene was low because she ate no vegetables. Folate was low. And I said, well, at least eat some liver because it has folate.
Yes.
And she did.
Uh-huh.
And the upshot of it is she's pregnant now, and she's
And she's doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Tom, make sure your wife is on a low-carb, high-fat diet. Oh, what I was getting to before is some people overdo protein, and excess protein will turn to blood sugar in the body. People keep saying high-protein, low-carb diet. Your protein stays about the same. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be somewhere between 20 and maybe 35-32%. It's more a high-fat diet.
What do you say to the people who, and this is a debate in nutrition, who say that saturated fat can cause insulin resistance, and that if you have a predominantly saturated fat diet, that's not so good?
I don't think anybody should have a predominantly saturated fat diet, but I would be interested in what else are they having in the setting.
Fats from avocados, olive oil, coconut oil, things like that. But also it could be you can have saturated fat that's rich in omega-3. Well, that's a polyunsaturated, which is why we get the grass-fed beef.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's also high in CLA, conjugated linoleic acid, and vaccinic acid, which is a precursor to conjugated linoleic acid, which is a weight loss thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
And a cancer prevention thing as well. So we don't have to be afraid of saturated fat anymore. The only saturated fat we have to be afraid of are the man-made, the factory-made trans fats.
I will tell you, it's expensive to get the grass-fed because I just paid my credit card. It was like $400 and some.
Oh,
but
gosh.
I'll probably be eating till spring on that.
You know, I'll be honest with you. It's because of a food bill like that, and we have similar food bills. I mean, it hurts the pocketbook to pay $25 a pound for a nice ribeye grass-fed steak or something.
But you prioritize. You're not frivolous, buying a lot of junk,
exactly.
Consumer crap.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Where I almost wish that it was in our health interest to go vegan because I would rather pay for a rice and beans diet, which would go a whole lot farther than how we're really supposed to be eating, but then other things would happen.
No, I mean, it's other way. You see people with poor people with food stamps who are buying a lobster or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not a great allocation of your resources.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, talk about going off topic. So,
okay.
Tom, best of luck
to
your wife.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. We have time. We have time for more.
We have time for one more. As a matter of fact, let me see. Oh, I've been diagnosed with borderline glaucoma. This question comes from Francis. I've been diagnosed with borderline glaucoma, and I'm wondering, is there anything with diet or exercise or supplements I can take to bring down the pressure, the numbers, before I'm put on drops for this condition?
Okay, first of all, I'm going to give a shout-out to a good colleague of mine, who's Dr. Robert Abel. Recently, he's been a guest on my program, and I've known him for 25 years. He is America's foremost integrative ophthalmologist, eye doctor. And recently I had a patient who had a very unusual eye problem. And I said, well, you know, I'm not sure what to do for this nutritionally. Why don't you talk to Dr. Abel? And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he got some good nutritional support advice. And mm-hmm. one element of his complicated eye problem is glaucoma. And darned if he is not turning the corner. They said that he was going to lose his eyesight virtually 100%, that he was not going to recover his eyesight. And now he's got some eyesight.
You know, he's not and perfect. That's amazing.
So Dr. Abel has a website. I think it's called eyeadvisory.com. Mm-hmm. He also has a radio program called The Wizard of Eyes. Clever.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a practice in Wilmington, Delaware, if you want to go see him. But he's very authoritative about nutritional interventions for the eyes. That being said,
I have a question related to this. Isn't glaucoma like high blood pressure of the eye?
Yeah, but it's two aspects. There's
okay.
You know, two basic kinds of glaucoma, to somewhat oversimplify. There's what's called open angle and narrow angle.
Yeah.
And open angle is akin to hypertension of, you know, like it's often associated with insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, overweight, and systemic hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
So it responds to fish oil, weight loss, diet, exercise, and those measures.
Right.
Then closed angle is where you actually have a problem with the circulation of fluid in the eyes, where often you have to open up a channel with something like laser.
Mm.
There are mm-hmm. drugs that lower the blood pressure in the eye. They include mm-hmm. Beta blockers applied to the eye. It was the same thing as beta blockers taken orally for blood pressure. You know, there is a wonderful herbal remedy for glaucoma.
Bilberry?
No.
No.
Marijuana.
Huh.
Yeah, studies have shown, first of all...
Francis.
yeah, I'm not sure that's, that's for Francis, but...
Yeah.
The main research on this comes out of Jamaica, where you have really kind of a population of individuals of African descent who are, we know, when exposed to a Western diet, are much more likely to develop glaucoma for one reason or another, just as African Americans are more likely to develop hypertension.
Yeah.
However, there is among the Jamaican population, Rastafarians, who, for religious purposes, smoke pot all day.
Right.
In big spliffs. They call it ganja.
And listen to Bob Marley.
And listen to Bob Marley and the Wailers. And, you know, reggae music. And they don't have glaucoma to any degree comparable to the non-marijuana smokers.
That's so interesting.
So, and now, in terms of medical marijuana, actually one of the... recommended treatments for painful glaucoma, because some people get glaucoma that becomes impossible to control, becomes very painful, is marijuana.
Wow.
So, you know, medical marijuana, it's a whole other issue. I think it's just, in some cases, it's kind of a scam. It's like, okay, we're going to have these, set up these shops where people can come, and they'll come with some kind of doctor's note from some doctor who's going to take a small fee for them to get a diagnosis that will allow them to get marijuana. But there's some real deal aspects to medical applications of marijuana, and possibly in the future we'll see CBD oil, which is the non-hallucinogenic part of it, have an important role in treatment of things like ulcerative colitis, multiple sclerosis, and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so you know, I didn't mean to be frivolous with that answer, but you know, that is within the realm of possibility. Right. Probably for this situation, I would go with, you know, the same kind of diet that we use for metabolic syndrome.
Sure, sure. That, anti-inflammatory things like fish oil you mentioned.
Right.
An eye formula that has some vitamin A. It's got some bilberry.
Bilberry is more for the retina, and it may not have as much of an effect on the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people take eye formulas. The eye formulas are designed mostly for macular degeneration, maybe with some impact on cataracts.
Okay.
But glaucoma is a different eye condition.
Yeah, yeah. Francis, thank you for your question, and best of luck.
Yeah. I think that just about wraps up the time that we have for
today. And for 2015.
And for 2015.
Wow.
So let's, you know, drink that champagne.
Yep.
And we will reconvene again on the other side of the year for our inaugural edition, 2016 edition, of our weekly Q&A with Layla.
Yeah.
And Layla, I want to express appreciation to you for all the help this year and for your wonderful interaction with me on these podcasts, but also with managing patients at the Hoffman Center. It's been a really productive year, I think.
It's been a privilege. Thank you.
And also,
thank
this
you for
year
that privilege.
Has marked your debut with your own podcast.
Yes.
Which have attracted an enormous following. And, I have to say, a little jealous because... I post a podcast and I'm sweating over it. I work really hard, uh-huh. and I may get 600 or 800 likes on it. Or views.
Okay.
Likes is another story, but views, because uh-huh. it tells you on Facebook how many views you get. And then I post something that you do, and it's right away. It's 1,200-1,500 views.
Oh my!
What's up with that?
I don't.
Could you?
Sorry.
Could you contain it a little bit?
I'll try to contain it.
Because
It's thank you for listening, everybody, and thank you for reading the newsletters.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right. So, once again, thank you, listeners, and a very, very happy
and
healthy
year.
New Year to you and your families. And we'll be back again in 2016. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.